following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Hi, it's the Herd. Mother's Day is coming soon. Make the moms in your life feel truly special by sending the most delicious treat. Fannie Mae berries. Large, luscious strawberries dipped in rich Fannie Mae chocolate. Don't be fooled by the other dipped berries. They're not always dipped in real chocolate. Fannie Mae berries use premium 100% chocolate from the legendary company that's been making great chocolate for almost 100 years. Fannie Mae berries are dipped and shipped within 24 hours, so they're always fresh. I just had some out in Los Angeles. I'm telling you, you eat one, you're eating a half dozen. Right now, my listeners get a special limited time offer from Fannie Mae berries. Order the half dozen decadent strawberries dipped in dark milk and white chocolate for only $19.99. And for just $10 more, you can make it a full dozen. For delivery in time for Mother's Day, go to fmberries.com. That's F as in Fanny, M as in May, berries.com. fmberries.com. Click on the mic, upper right side, enter Colin. fmberries.com.
You're tuned in to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. You can join the show by calling the Bruce Furniture fan line, emailing the Dent Popper inbox, by sending us a tweet or a Facebook message. The show that brings you guests that offer the best insight from the top professionals in sports.
Stu Pospisil, Omaha World Herald. Brian Rosenthal, beat writer for the Lincoln Journal Star. From ESPN, ESPN.com, Adam Rittenberg, Steve Sipple, the Lincoln Journal Star. Mike Babcock of Huskers Illustrated, Sean Callahan of HuskerOnline.com.
As well as the top athletes and coaches in sports.
Tim Miles in his initial visit to the Doug and Daddy Show. U.S. Olympian Tervell Delagnev, Doug O'Neill, winning trainer of All Have Another.
Who will be on the show today? Let's find out by heading to the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Hey, very good Monday morning to you. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug on assignment. He's out in Omaha getting ready for the U.S. Senior Open, a major PGA event, and it's media day there in Omaha, so that's where Doug's at. I'm Randy Bushcutter and Jim Langan, our co-host tonight and this afternoon. Can I start over? This morning. That, you know, my day must be going rather long if I think we're already toward the evening at this point. That's a bad sign there, Jim. That's a bad sign.
I think we're going to probably just forget that happened and move on. Yeah, I don't think anybody really cares. I go up to the YMCA a lot, and everybody, I'll see them like in the morning and say, hey, have a good night, or, you know, enjoy your day or whatever. Yeah. So
it always cracks me up when I see people at the YMCA take the elevator upstairs to go work out. That always cracks me up whenever you kind of run into that. That doesn't happen all the time, but whenever you see it, it is kind of funny. Let's talk a little horse racing. The Kentucky Derby wrapping up on Saturday, and wow. It was a great race. The favorite ended up winning at Orb, but I just love the fact that never on the leaderboard, you know, when NBC did the coverage, they had the top five horses in there. I don't think Orb was ever in there, you know, when they showed that graphic, because coming from way behind like Orb did, that was impressive to see.
Yeah, evidently he must have had a pretty good trip. You know, I was at the track that day, and you know, so he must have. They talked about the great trip that he had and how the jockey just was patient, et cetera. You know, it's kind of interesting. The fractions were so fast, and every once in a while, that Kentucky Derby, you know, the 10 horse went out way too quick. You know, ran 45-4, and you know, and anybody that followed him got in deep trouble. You know what I mean? All the horses that were up there, because turning for home, the 2 horse actually had the lead a little bit, and then everything came from downtown. I mean, every horse that was in the top five came from off the pace. So, and that happens sometimes in horse racing. You know, the pace is kind of dictates what's going to happen on the race. But by far, that horse won. A lot of people use the 3, the horse that ran third, and the 5 that ran fourth, and the winner. But the one that was tough was the 4 horse. That was the one that made everything pay.
Which is one that you had.
Yeah, I played like 5 horses that were at 30-1, and that's what I do. I mean, when I play tickets, I try to use the horses, you know, third, and I use that thing in my trifecta, but I didn't use the 16 with it. So yeah, I got no tickets to cash. But you know, one thing I looked at too is the 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, you know, those horses, they ran pretty well. They were close to the top. I'm talking about finishing in the top 6. Well, they had the easiest trip because they have the rail. They have the least way to go. And that was kind of critical. A lot of people thought the outside, the only horse from the outside was the 16. Because, you know, if you look at the numbers, the one was scratched. And then it came in, you know, 16, 4, 3, 5, 6, to. You know, so I mean, you know, yeah. that inside had an advantage because those people saved ground and they, you know, they all closed except for the two horse that didn't, you know, kind of pressed the pace a little bit and ran a pretty good race.
And you got to make sure you don't get boxed in. You know, 16 did a nice job of kind of staying out of any kind of trouble. When Orb wanted to make that move, Orb was in the open, and it kind of found a, more of an outside turn there. If you really measured how far Orb had to run, because they started on the 16 and then kicked it in before they came down the stretch by going to the outside, probably ran an extra, 200 yards maybe?
I don't know how wide he went. I didn't really check that out. I never did really see the replay of that, you know, to be honest with you. But he was very impressive. He won by two lengths. You know, he was extremely impressive. When he turned for home, and there was no doubt that he judged the finish line, the jockey had judged that correctly, and it looked like he could go on and maybe go a mile and a half, which is what's tough in the to win the Belmont, which is the last race of the Triple Crown. But people will be talking Triple Crown with this horse because of the way he moved, and he's getting a lot better. I mean, this is a horse that the first four races, he didn't break his maiden race. You know what I mean? Well, a maiden race is, you know, the very first, you know, against non-winners. And, you know, he had to go three times, and he still hadn't won, and then he finally won. So really an improving horse. And, you know, he's got a shot at it, really, you know, to win it. But it's going to be really tough. I mean, it's always hard to win that. You got to have racing luck every time when you come from behind and close. These horses that go to the front, or you know, even when Secretariat won that, there was only five horses in the race in the Belmont, and there was only like seven in the race. You know, so you can just stay out of trouble.
Yeah.
You know
what
I mean? When you got 20 horses in the race, you got to have some racing luck, right?
Well, and I think it'd be huge for horse racing if, and it hasn't happened since 79. Isn't 79 the year that Affirm did it?
Affirm won it in 78.
78 is what it is?
78, see, and
you know, it hasn't been one since.
No, Secretariat won in 73. You know, they had and they had some.
There's a little stretch there.
Yeah, there was some, and there's been some horses that have gone too deep, and then we've had some unrest. You know, a Smarty Jones had a really good chance to do it and got caught at the wire, and there's been some other horses that got injured and some things like that could run.
Yeah, and it'd be nice if they finally had one. I think, you know, kind of like what golf kind of had with Tiger Woods in terms of having that dominant athlete out there, and then everybody's against the field. I think horse racing needs that. Now, I understand that unlike golf, where Tiger Woods is going to be in the Masters next year. You know, he's going to be in the U.S. Open 2-3 years in a row. It isn't exactly the way that works because it's a one-shot deal. It's only for the three-year-olds. But I really think a Triple Crown winner would do a lot of good for horse racing.
Yeah, that's what the people say. I don't know if it would or not. I really don't know. You have your diehard horse racing fans.
Right. Which you are, much more so than I am.
Yeah, I mean, but you're going to have some people. At least that day, there's going to be some interest. I mean, if that horse is racing for the Triple Crown, there's going to be a lot of people watching that race that day, which helps the industry out. Even if you have a store and you're open 365 days, but just one day you got a great day, that really helps your store out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see. And that might be true, you know, because there is an interest in boxing, if there is that one great fighter, you know, the Muhammad Ali type thing.
Right.
And, you know, and we haven't had that for a long time in boxing.
I can't even tell you who the heavyweight champion of the world is. I can't even tell you that.
Yeah, that's right. So I think, you know, that's a good point when you're talking about that. That, you know, in the NBA playoffs, you know, you have a team, you know, LeBron James, you know, definitely does a lot for the NBA. I mean, and what's kind of interesting here, you know, I cannot believe how many people dislike LeBron James. I mean, he's not dislikable. I mean, you know, he's won four, you know, NBA MVPs. You know, I don't know what's dislikable about him. A lot of people dislike him. I don't know if they're jealous of him or they were such a Cleveland fan that they're upset about this. But, you know, you watch Carmelo Anthony. Did you watch him?
Yeah. I haven't really watched a lot of NBA, but I love LeBron's game.
Right.
Much more so than Carmelo's. Love his game.
We got second for being the Outstanding Defensive Player Award. You know, Carmelo's the one that complains all the time out on the floor. If you're going to dislike somebody, I don't know why. So, but that's a very good point you made about the horse racing industry because, you know, when the economy's not good, maybe people don't have not much money to gamble with. You know, it seems like they do. They seem to have, you know, there's some other vices they have money for, but yeah.
It always seems like they find money for vices. With me, LeBron, when he was a rookie, there was a game, just a regular season game, and I'm watching this new kid, you know, because he didn't play college ball. I don't really know much about LeBron. And I'm watching it, and He kind of took over the game, but also made sure that all of his teammates were involved. And he was unquestionably the team leader. And he turned his ankle that game or something like that. And he just kind of strapped it up. And I just kind of watching him, like, going, wow, I really like that kid. And then he lost me a little bit in terms of his popularity with the decision. And it wasn't so much that he chose to leave Cleveland, because he can do what he wants to do. But he doesn't even tell his boss until he's on ESPN. And I just have always had trouble with how he's handled the decision. And that's the one check mark against him that I kind of hold against him a little bit. He hasn't really taken my heart by any stretch because of stuff like that. But unquestionably, best player in the world. I'd love to have him on my team. I'd love to have him as a teammate if I was good enough to play with him.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think, you know, in society, that there's a lot of people that make judgments on people. And then maybe we look back later and, you know, look at Cassius Clay and the decision to Muhammad Ali and cost him, you know, for years. You know, the Vietnam War was kind of unpopular. We look back now at the time, everybody, hey, you need to fight, you know, because of World War II. I mean, everybody was in this together. Right. But, you know, that decision, I mean, you kind of look back at it. So I think Muhammad Ali's probably, from Cassius Clay to Muhammad Ali in the 60s, how many people maybe disliked him compared to how many people dislike him now?
Well,
I think that's got to be a big number. And I mean, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Lew Alcindor, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, you know, and when you talk about some people that just maybe we just didn't understand them. We just don't understand quite what's, you know.
They might be ahead of us a little bit.
Because
I think Muhammad Ali, his thinking about the Vietnam War was ahead of what was the popular sentiment in the country at the time.
Yeah, exactly. And living in central Nebraska, you know, we have some different views. And I'm not saying our views are poor. I mean, people with Nebraska seem to have good working ethics. You know, but I just don't know if we understand maybe some of all the wide range of variety of where people live and what their lives were like and et cetera.
Yeah. And I was hoping he was going to stay with Cleveland because, you know, he's kind of from that area. You know, to me, the dream always is that local team that you've always kind of rooted for. You become a player for them and you lead them to the world championship and that sort of thing. And he gave that up. That's my dream. It's not his dream.
Right.
I'm putting my thoughts into him. And then that's not fair. Well, I know it on the surface, but But still, it sticks with me a little bit that I wish he would have stayed.
You know, in Nebraska, we had Tom Osborne, who stayed in Nebraska really for a long period of time. He didn't jump to the pros. He didn't jump to another college. I mean, he was really loyal to Nebraska. We used to – George Brett was really loyal to the Kansas City Royals. I mean, when he's elected, I think he got 99% of the vote. You know, when he got elected to the Hall of Fame, you talk about a guy that played for one team, was loyal to the Royals, only won one – He won World Series. I wonder what his, you know, what legacy would have been like if we'd have never won that one. All we needed was one. You know, I've been happy with one's good enough for me. I kind of made an agreement with God. If we could just win one, that was good enough. You know, but, you know, in the 85 World Series, you know, that makes a big difference. But George Brett was that type of guy that you're talking about that stays at one place and is kind of loyal to that. I don't know if the players do that as much, you know, like you're saying right now. I'm talking about not just one player. I'm talking about a lot of them. But, you know, Larry Bird was, you know, with the Celtics.
Yeah, one team.
You know, one team, you know, kind of the loyalty there. You know, Magic Johnson, you know, the people, the loyalty they have for like a Magic Johnson. They're just a little more likable than some of the controversial players that maybe jump and go back and forth. People have a tendency to boo those athletes when they do take the stage. You know, when you do go from you were a Kansas City Royal player and then now you go to the Yankees. Now he's playing for the Yankees and he comes back, he gets booed a little bit, you know, no matter who that guy might be.
Right. And, you know, Paul Pierce has been with one organization. He's at the twilight of his career. If he wants to continue to play, there's a fairly good chance he's going to have to wear something besides Celtic green. It's going to be interesting to see how he's treated when he comes back into Boston, you know, when that happens. So it's just kind of interesting how that all kind of changes and evolves.
Well, you look at Scott Frost. You remember Scott Frost when he was at Wood River? Great athlete, one of the better athletes we've ever had in Central Nebraska. And, you know, he goes to Stanford and plays for a Super Bowl coach.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't quite work out. He comes back to Nebraska. His first couple games, things didn't go well. Do you remember how the crowd treated him?
Yeah. Oh, because they saw him almost as a traitor because he left and went and played for Bill Walsh. And then he had to kind of win everybody's hearts back.
Yeah.
You're right. Because he was not well received.
Yeah, we got two safeties against Arizona State, and that's never good for a quarterback. You know, you got to be 19-0 that game, you know, at Arizona State. And that was a game that, you know, the people wanted to really hurt him quite a bit. The Lawrence Phillips situation, when Lawrence was had a great game, Lawrence comes back. I wonder how people feel about Lawrence Phillips now. and how they feel about Scott Frost now, yeah. and maybe how they felt about him the day that happened. You know, I mean, so people, you know, you need some time to see how things are going. I think LeBron maybe has proved now. LeBron James has proved that, hey, you know what? Hey, I did this. Here was the thing I did. It's been a long enough to know it's time to let that go, maybe. Let's just see what LeBron James does, you know, for the rest of his career and stuff.
I would agree. Yeah, to be honest with you, when he won his first title a year ago, it's like, that's I almost thought too bad. Because you say you don't understand people not liking LeBron. I didn't hate LeBron. I just didn't like LeBron. And there's a major difference there. And I didn't really care for him too much. But now, if he wins one, then I'm going to be okay with it. I hope they end up playing a healthy Thunder team, because I think they're about the only ones that can really match up and make that final interesting.
You know, I do like San Antonio and have, but that's a good point about the Thunder. They had to work like heck yesterday just to win. And Doug and I were talking about this earlier, about who's going to win this thing. And if you're healthy, it's going to help. And Oklahoma City has had some injuries. There's been some other teams in this NBA that got some injuries, too, and it's kind of changed
Bulls,
the playoff.
Yeah,
yeah the Bulls are in deep trouble, aren't they?
Yeah.
You talk about their roster, you might get to start for them if you were just sitting there now. Yeah.
But they're fun to watch because of it. I like that grit that they kind of have. You know, and they've kind of endeared themselves to me, even though I don't think that they're going to make it too far in the conference semifinals. Well, what you can do to take care of yourself, stay healthy, obviously a good lunch and a great place to do that will be at the Chicken Coop. Lunch specials Monday through Friday. You can catch all the early games. Happy hour from 2 o'clock until 5:30. Monday through Friday, you can watch your favorite sports on 15 different HD TVs. There is not a bad seat in the house. They got TVs at every angle and every place with all the different games. Great food and drink specials every night. And don't forget that you can rent out. Well, you don't even have to rent it out. You just show up and have a room available for parties and your get-togethers. You can call them today and kind of get that set to the side. Doesn't cost you anything to make those reservations. And today, Monday, bowl fries and fries, only $5.99. That is the special tonight. And so that'll take care of you tonight. And don't forget their legendary Totally Jack Burger on Wednesdays, their big burger night. But tonight, the big deal is bowl fries and fries, only $5.99. Special Monday night deal at the Chicken Coop. And don't forget their great lunch specials. Today's lunch special is a steak sandwich with choice of side item, only $6.99. Great place to both eat dinner and supper tonight. That is the Chicken Coop in Kearney. Time for us to take a quick break. We'll continue with more, including talking with Tri-C Storm general manager and coach Josh Howgie when we come back right after this.
Take us on the run, baby. Download the Android app from the Google Play Store and get connected with Central Nebraska's ESPN Superstation. No more post-sunset or pre-sunrise fade. We're loud and digitally clear. Log into the Google Play Store. Type in ESPN Superstation to find and download to your mobile. ESPN Superstation on your iPhone, too.
Listen up, my friends. This commercial's got some real stopping power. This May, NAPA is offering up to a $50 mail-in rebate card with a purchase of qualifying brake products. NAPA brakes are built to the highest quality standards and designed to improve stopping in all conditions, so you can stop on a dime, rain or shine. So hurry, or should I say stop, into your local NAPA Auto Parts Store or Auto Care Center. Visit NAPA online for details. Offer expires 5/31/13.
This Mother's Day, send the mom in your life delicious, freshly dipped strawberries from Sherry's Berries starting at $19.99. These sweet berries are dipped in milk, white, and dark chocolatey topping and covered with chocolate chips, crushed almonds, and a decorative swizzle. Plus, radio listeners can double the berries for just $10 more. Show mom how much you appreciate her love and hard work. Go to berries.com, click on the microphone in the top right corner, and type in the password SCORE. Don't wait, order now. That's berries.com, passcode.
We'll see a blend of clouds and sunshine developing here for today with winds turning southeasterly at 5 to 10 miles per hour, and we'll see high near 70 degrees. For tonight, a slight chance for an isolated shower or storm late, and we'll get a low near 48. Right now, 57.
And Welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show. We've been talking a little horse racing, a little bit of baseball, and some basketball as well. And, well, this is the time of year that you start rebuilding your hockey program in the USHL, as well as we talk a little NHL playoffs. And to join us to talk a little hockey is Josh Howgie, the head coach and general manager of the Tri-City Storm. Tomorrow, big day for you, Coach.
Yeah, you know, the next 48 hours for us are extremely important. We have our futures draft tonight, and then, you know, tomorrow is the entry draft, and, have a little draft party here at the rink tomorrow.
You say futures draft, and what are the difference in the two drafts there? What exactly is the difference? Well,
yeah, tonight at 6 o'clock, it starts phase one, and they call it the futures draft. It's for players that are of the 97 birth year, so there'll be 8 rounds of picks tonight for players that are only in the 97 birth year.
And then
tomorrow's entry draft is, you know, any player from a 96 to a 93 birth year, and those players are more likely the guys that are coming to play for your hockey team next season.
So how many do you draft for the futures? I would assume that's probably a smaller number than the overall entry draft.
Yeah, tonight's 8 rounds. We already have tendered Torrey Dello, so that's our first-round pick. So we'll have 7 more selections tonight, and then tomorrow's draft, we'll pick 23 times in tomorrow's draft.
So obviously that's a lot of players, and you got several coming back from next year. So, the deeper the roster, the more choices you've got to make.
Yeah, and we're in a good spot, and we have a lot of selections. So we're excited, and we want to, make our job as difficult to pick a hockey team as we can by, making sure we're doing a good job in these two drafts.
Are there some areas that you really feel like we really have to address this area, whether it be forward, goalie, center, what have you?
Well, yeah, I think that, for sure we have to address, we've lost a lot of, forwards. We got to get some scoring, and I think you'll see us address that issue with our first pick tomorrow night. We're going to try to, take care of that, and then also, I think you'll see us, bringing some more goaltenders in to really, battle for the starting job there and, really try to, upgrade there.
Hey, I'm unfamiliar with hockey quite a bit on how this draft works. A question I have for you, are there players that you really have to make sure when you draft them that they are going to be willing to come here, or have they already made that decision that they're willing to do that?
You know what, we've actually, the last, week, spending a lot of time on the phone with these, young men and talking to them about what their plans are. I mean, a lot of players have different options, whether they want to go major, junior, and, forgo their college eligibility, or do they want to stay and play college hockey. And, we got to make sure that they're excited about coming to Kearney, Nebraska. I mean, we want guys that want to be a part of our program and want to be here. And so really spending a lot of time just getting to know these guys and, finding about their character and where they want to play.
How do you go about that screening, Coach?
Well, I think, getting to build relationships with them, talking with them on the phone, calling some of their, former coaches and teachers and, making sure that they're, not just doing things right on the phone, but they're, doing things right in their personal life and making sure that they're good people first and foremost.
And you're a little short staffed right now. I mean, you've still kept the scouts and some scouting services and the like, but you're in the process of finding new assistant coaches. Has that really impacted your preparation for the draft?
Well, I think that we were, in a good spot and, very prepared, and everybody's done a good job of, getting us all the information that we need. And now it's just, tweaking things here and there as we got out the last 3 weeks and, making, slight alterations. But, I mean, basically, we've been prepared for this draft for 2 months now, and now it's just, making sure we execute it and doing things right as we go here.
We're talking with Tri-City Storm head coach and general manager Josh Howgie. Jim?
Well, I was just going to ask, with the hockey, your areas of recruiting probably are in the north and eastern part of the United States, but is that untrue now? Is hockey all over the United States?
Yeah, I mean, we have guys on our board from Alaska to California, from New York to Florida. So I mean, it's truly become a national game, and there's guys that are going to be drafted. I mean, I think you'll see kids from Nebraska being drafted tomorrow. So hopefully, we can get one or two.
Has that created kind of a headache in terms of being able to find these kids? If you've got to go to Omaha, to Miami, to Houston, to Anchorage, you know, obviously you can't have much of a larger area to try to recruit than that.
Yeah, I mean, it's become difficult. But, I mean, the great thing is just that how the game is growing, that, you know, there's so many people out there that are watching. The colleges are getting everywhere. Our scouts are getting everywhere. And it's, you know, it's difficult, but, you know, the great thing, too, with the internet now is so many games are online. You can watch a lot on TV or internet and figure it out that way.
And I know so many people follow the draft. I mean, the NFL draft has become kind of this big deal. And one of the things they discuss is best player available versus trying to find somebody that fits your need. How do you balance picking the best player available versus what you need and the kind of player that you need based on your existing roster?
Yeah, and I think the two drafts for us are really different in our approach. In the futures draft here, we're going to take the best players available, phase one tonight. Whoever the best guy is available, we're going to take. And then tomorrow, you'll see us draft a little bit more need-based, guys that can come in and, you know, make that difference for us right away. So I think just based on the two drafts, you'll see a different philosophy from us as to what we're doing. Tonight's going to be best player. Tomorrow, best player in need based.
With the futures draft, are you really kind of thinking that maybe not next year are they going to be a major player, or are they going to be able to make that kind of an impact, even though they're going to be some of the younger players in the league?
Yeah, I mean, Torrey Dello for us with that tender, he'll come in and he'll be a guy that is going to make that impact right away. Other than that, some of those guys are going to take some time and they're going to, you know, develop and slowly, you know, make it here. But it's a process for a lot of these guys, and a lot of the names you hear called, you might not see for a year or two.
All right, Josh, tell us a little bit about, you know, we kind of mentioned that people are watching the NFL draft and they can kind of follow some of this stuff online. For the Storm fans that really want to follow what you guys do, what do you have in store for them and what can they do online?
Well, tonight's broadcast will be broadcast, you know, on fasthockey.com. It's a free broadcast to, you know, a little show that the USHL puts on, and that will be, you know, starting at 6 o'clock here tonight and going till it's over. So that's there. Also, you can follow along just at USHL.com. And then tomorrow night, you know, the draft starts at 4 o'clock, and, you know, people are welcome to come in and watch tomorrow here. And we'll actually be feeding everyone from 5 to 7. So, you know, you want some burgers and brats and want to just see a little bit of it, you'll be able to look into our draft room, see what we're doing. You know, and as the selections are made, you'll probably hear from a player or two that we pick, and you know, some interviews and different things of that nature.
So tomorrow, the doors will be open before 4, I would assume.
Yeah, you can, you know, come on in anytime, but the actual draft party is from 5 to 7, and that's when food will be available. But you know, starting at 4 o'clock, you know, come on in and watch if you want.
Good. Hey, a question I have for you. And they have rules, I know, in the NBA and the NFL. How much time do you have between, like, when somebody else makes a selection, how much time do you have to make your selection after that team is picked?
The first round, it's 5 minutes, and then it's 3 minutes for every round after that. So it goes pretty quick, and most teams aren't taking those whole 3 minutes because it can be a long night if it goes that way.
Sure.
Well, I'll tell you what, though, when you're on the clock, those 3 minutes seem like they go pretty fast, don't they, Josh?
No question. They're the longest 3 minutes when you got your guy you want and you're one pick away from him, I'll tell you that.
Is there a lot of trading that takes place the day of? I mean, I know you guys have had some trades leading up to this, but the day of, is there a lot of wheeling and dealing?
Yeah, there is right now. I mean, it's when I get off the phone with you guys here, it's going to be, you know, working the phones and seeing what we can do to, you know, upgrade our hockey team here. And you know, there'll be a lot of trades that go on throughout the next 48 hours.
Well, you got a great question that came in from Mark, and it mentions that a local hockey club has grown over the years. It has gotten better, been around for quite some time now. How close are we getting to having a Kearney or a Central Nebraska kid from being drafted?
Well, I think tomorrow you'll see, you know, a Central Nebraska kid get drafted at some point. Hopefully we can, you know, get him, but I think it's coming. And, you know, we had some, you know, a couple local kids that came out and practiced with us at the end of this year just to give them that experience. And, I mean, obviously that's something we would love to have, a local kid here make our hockey team. And I think that, you know, I don't think it's that far away from, you know, kids being able to play here.
Yeah, that was kind of my question earlier when I asked about the fact that you might have a kid from Kearney that's 16 years old that wants to live with his mom and dad. You know, and he would like to play for Kearney, but he all of a sudden he's in that draft in Green Bay or somebody. I don't even know if they have a team still. But if they would draft him, how quick it would be for you to go, hey, listen, this isn't going to work out for you. He's not coming. Hey, let's make a switch here. You know, does that happen often when you're dealing with 16-year-old kids?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we have kids that, you know, that when we make the call for them, and you know, they think Kearney, Nebraska is as far away as possible. I mean, it happens where, you know, where these young kids are a little intimidated about moving away.
I don't want to say do you get preferential treatment, but is there some consideration, you know, for the Indianapolis kids that play hockey getting drafted by the Ice and the Green Bay kids getting drafted by the Gamblers? Is there any talk within the league to try to make it so the Omaha area kids get drafted by the Lancers, or is it just really all first come, first serve?
It's really turned into, you know, a little bit of a business, and in that, you know, if there's a player that's good, I think everybody wants to, you know, give them their crack at it here, you know, early. But if they don't take them right away, it becomes a thing where you got to do what's best for your own organization. If that means we have to draft a guy from Green Bay or Indiana, it doesn't matter. We're gonna, you know, we got to take the best guys available.
Would you have extra emphasis? I mean, if two players being equal, you'd probably draft a kid from Kearney versus a kid from Green Bay, wouldn't you?
No question. I mean, we want to get, you know, players from the area, and I think that's something that, you know, we're going to do everything we can to keep developing the young guys here and, you know, preparing them and getting them ready. So hopefully, you know, sooner than later, we got a local kid wearing a Storm jersey.
Yeah, I think the ticket sales might go up a little bit if you had a couple of Kearney kids playing, you know, compared to two people we don't even know. So, yeah, it's a good point. But it does seem to me that when they're 16 and they come to Kearney, things, the host families we have and et cetera, it makes it go real well.
Yeah, I mean, we're extremely fortunate with the families that we have that take our players in. They do a tremendous job, and they're just, I mean, I can't imagine you know, having a, you know, 16, 17, 18-year-old moving in with me and taking care of them the way that they do. They do just an outstanding job.
Is there still kind of some recruiting that takes place after you draft them to make sure that they feel comfortable coming in and playing here in Central Nebraska?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's an ongoing process. We'll bring, you know, a few people over in the summer and, you know, let them get to see the school and make sure that they're comfortable with everything. And it never really stops. It just seems to keep on going. And once you get a guy, even, you know, here, you have to, you know, keep talking with them, making sure they're happy and making sure you're doing things right for them.
All right, Josh. Well, we wish you the best of luck. And, you know, busy 48 hours. Futures draft today, the entry draft tomorrow. And, again, 4 o'clock tomorrow is the beginning of, including food tomorrow at 5 o'clock at the Vero Event Center in terms of having the draft. Best of luck to you, Josh. Appreciate the time.
Yeah, thank you very much. And we'll have to jump on Wednesday and talk about how it went for us.
All right, that sounds like a pretty good deal, Josh. Best of luck. Thanks.
Thank you.
That's Josh Algy, the head coach, and right now, more importantly, the general manager of the Tri-City Storm, as they're restocking the shelves a little bit with their futures draft today. Their entry draft begins tomorrow. Don't forget, statshockey.com and USHL.com are a couple places that you can kind of follow that online. And, you know, the It all started with the NFL draft in terms of people being kind of those draft nerds following every single thing. It's really kind of gone on to almost everything else. The Major League Baseball draft comes up in June. You know, there'll be some interest around here, see whether or not some of the kids from, say, UNK get drafted, that sort of thing. And all these major leagues have really kind of come up with pretty good ways for fans to follow them, including the USHL, in terms of having some way that you can kind of follow the draft.
Yeah, I really don't know anything about the hockey stuff, to be honest with you. I really have any idea. I do know in football that, you know, they do a fairly good job with these combines and stuff, because, you know, you'll have these guys that play in NCAA and some of the players that are really, really good, like Heisman Trophy candidates. These guys know right away, hey, nah, this guy's about a 38 pick to 48 pick, and we don't need him. Even though he's a great college player, he's probably not going to be able to fit in the NFL. And it's amazing when you all of a sudden they have the draft and they go, you know, the ninth pick out of Puget Sound. You're going, who's the heck?
Yeah,
you know, I mean, how did this
guy?
And then this guy, you know, goes on and has about a 17-year career, you know, in the NFL. You know, so they do a really good job of on the talent level with, you know, with the NCAA basketball and these freshmen, their first year, even high school players. These guys have always been fairly good stars. Every once in a while, you'll have a miss, you know, but those guys are pretty good at doing that. But in baseball and hockey, it seems like, boy, that's a random. These are 16-year-old kids. You know how much they can change?
Yeah.
I mean, at 16, I mean, what the difference? How, you know, you watch a junior high football game, and that one kid can dominate the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, at that time.
And doesn't
grow
anymore.
Yeah,
and it, what also is different, you know, they do have a minor league for hockey. They have, obviously, minor leagues for baseball. Not only do you have to stock the big league team, you have to stock those minor league teams and that development stuff. And that's one reason why I think they draft a lot more kids, because they've got time to develop. It's different from the NFL, because there's no minor league for the NFL.
That's a good point.
Yeah. So anyway, it'd be a great opportunity for the Storm to better themselves, and you also got a great opportunity to better what you drive by getting 2.9% financing for 72 months on all new vehicles with approved credit at Midway, as they've got a better way for you. Typically, when they have these incentivized financing deals, or you have the rebates that come from the manufacturers, well, they have huge news going on right now. Midway is offering incentivized rates with approved credit, and you get to have the Midway hassle-free price. 2013 Silverado 1500s up to $9,500 off, and you get that 1.9% financing for 72 months or 3.9% financing for 84 months. Again, that's with approved credit. They also have the 2013 Ram 1500s up to $9,000 off with your approved trade, and 1.9% financing for 72 months or 3.9% for 84 months. Again, with approved credit. Midway, a better way, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. You can check out their whole inventory by going to thinkmidway.com. We'll take a break. We're back with more right after this.
Come on in, let the games begin.
Hi, this is Jeremy from HK Sports Bar and Grill in Hastings. The sun is finally shining, the weather's straightening out, and we're celebrating with an all-new summer salads menu. We've traveled the world via the internet, tasting recipes from all corners, and now it's your turn to enjoy the new summer salad menu and 12 beers on tap, including the summer favorite, Leinenkugel Summer Shandy, at HK Sports Bar and Grill.
Come on in, let the games begin.
Hi, it's the Herd. It's not only what we do at work, but how we do it that makes the difference. Our flow of information needs to be ongoing, collaborative, time efficient. Whether we're working at the office or on the go, ShareFile helps you do all of that easily and securely. ShareFile by Citrix seamlessly integrates into your daily routine, no matter where you are, from any mobile device. With ShareFile, files of almost any size are sent as secure links. You receive notifications when they're opened, and files can be password protected for ultimate control. Plus, you can set up shared folders for easy collaboration with clients or coworkers. ShareFile will change the way you work. To help get you started, how about a special 30-day free trial offer? No obligation. To get the special offer, go to ShareFile.com today, click on the mic, top of the homepage, and enter my first name, Colin. That's ShareFile.com, and type in my name.
Yeah. ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney know health insurance. As independent and authorized producers of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska, independent licensees of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association, Rich Peters and Matt Myers will work with you to make sure you have health insurance coverage that fits your needs. Their approach is simple. They listen. And will tailor a policy that'll work within your budget. When you need health insurance, just call Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your local Farm Bureau agents. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We'll see a blend of clouds and sunshine developing here for today with winds turning southeasterly at 5 to 10 miles per hour. And we'll see high near 70 degrees. For tonight, a slight chance for an isolated shower or storm late. And we'll get a low near 48. Right now, 57.
Life is a highway. I want to ride it all night long.
And welcome back. It's Monday on the Doug and Daddy Show. And soon hitting the highway will be the Kearney High boys soccer team making what kind of seems to be an annual trip down to the state soccer tournament over in Creighton in Omaha. And kind enough to talk to us about it, Scott Steinbrook, the head soccer coach at Kearney High. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good. You guys have, it's almost been a expectation, as you kind of have as your Twitter handle when you talk about it, tradition never graduates. This has been something that's been somewhat of an expectation for your program down the last few years.
Yeah, starting, you know, kind of in the mid-2000s, about 2005, 2006, we just kind of felt like our program turned the corner a little bit, where our youth program, our club program was strong, and we were getting some just real good student-athletes involved in our program. And you know, our first state qualification in the decade was in 2005, and we've been able to keep some momentum going since then. This will be our fifth trip this year, and that's just a credit to each class that has come through and made it down to the state tournament, even a couple teams that haven't. But, you know, we've had really strong seniors come through, and this group of kids this year, I'm proud of them. Kind of didn't get the result in the district tournament we were looking for, but they got rewarded for a good regular season and qualified as a wild card.
Hey, Coach, why don't you tell us some of the players on your team, and our listeners can see where, you know, where they play at and how they're doing, okay?
Some of the individual names, you said?
Yes.
Well, we have a start with a good senior class. Our goalkeeper is Quincy Bennett. He's a two-year starter. You know, a couple of our key senior defenders, Austin Hibbard and Gabe Bushnell. Those guys both were on our varsity team last year. So those three seniors, you know, have played a little bit in the state tournament. You know, then some other guys that would have played on last year's team. Damian Austin is our leading scorer this year. He plays forward. Isaac Armstrong is our second leading scorer. He also plays forward. And again, they both, Damian started and played a big role for us last year. Isaac, just as a freshman last year, was a reserve. So, you know, we have a few guys that have been down there and played before. But, you know, even some of the guys that were on the varsity last year, Zach Lehman, Jeremy Knispel, Cole Jones, you know, they traveled with us but didn't maybe have a chance to get on the field. So I'm excited for those guys, you know, especially as seniors. And then we have a solid group of underclassmen as well. Robbie Potoff, Jamison Ortley, Adam Challey. I know I'm probably going to leave out a few, but, you know, we have about 14 or 15 guys, kind of, you know, to borrow maybe a basketball term, that are in the rotation. And then we have about another six or seven, you know, that were JV players that are also traveling with the varsity. So, you know, some games they've got the chance to play and some games they haven't. But, you know, one thing that this team has done a great job is buying in and accepting their roles. You know, whether it's the leading scorer or starter, or whether it's a guy that maybe plays 3 minutes a game, you know, they've always accepted their role and embraced, you know, the team first mentality. And I think that's allowed us to be successful.
Well, I know one player that gets a lot of attention, in part because he's made a name for himself in basketball as well, but Damian Austin looked up the stats that they had on the NSAA's website today. 14 goals, 9 assists on the season.
obviously makes a lot of things happen, but I was also interested to find out, I didn't realize that Isaac Armstrong was only one goal behind Damian Austin, at least what they had on the website, with 13 goals on the year. That's a pretty good two-headed monster in terms of you guys getting a lot of production from those two players.
Yeah, you know, we've been fortunate over the last 5 or 6 years. You know, not only have we been able to put one top-notch goal scorer on the field, but it makes life so much easier offensively if you have a second guy. So if a defense really does key on Damian, and that's happened a lot this year, and I think Isaac would admit that he's benefited from, you know, defenses knowing that Damian was a go-to guy last year as a sophomore, and with not a lot of guys coming back, everybody knew who Damian was. So when coaches are putting together scouting reports and defense and game plans, Damian has been the focal point of that, and Isaac has benefited maybe from, in part from Damian's unselfishness in terms of passing the ball when it's appropriate. But it just makes it easier if you have those two goal scorers. You can go on back through the years, Spencer Lindsay, Josh Colbo, Josh Gable, Alex Pruitt, you know, guys like that. But there's always been a couple of those guys where, you know, we haven't been a one-dimensional attack where it's going to be a couple guys that are capable of putting the ball in the back of the net.
All right, Coach, let's talk the tournament this year. How do you kind of shake out the field? We've had a couple of conversations before. I know you're very high on Grand Island, Omaha South, and then really kind of feel like there's kind of a pretty good clump that you guys could rise to the top of in that kind of that middle pack. But how would you kind of handicap the field for us?
Well, I would throw Creighton Prep into that elite class as well. From day one of the season, you go back and look at the preseason rankings. In no particular order, Creighton Prep, Omaha South, and Grand Island, you know, were the top three from day one of the season and heading into the state tournament. They're still the top three. Omaha South has probably elevated themselves a little bit. They are having a ridiculous season. They're breaking all sorts of goal-scoring records and goals-allowed records, total win records. So they're probably the odds-on favorite. But soccer is a strange game. Omaha South has beaten Creighton Prep twice, but both times it's been 1-0. Grand Island owns a win over Creighton Prep. But again, any of those three teams are probably, you know, the class of the field. And then there's a whole bunch of us. And I would even throw a couple teams that didn't qualify into that mix. Omaha Westside and Lincoln Southwest have been in the top five nearly the entire season, but they got upset in districts and didn't even make it into the field. A couple of other teams like Papio South, who upset us, and the Lincoln Southeast were able to qualify for the tournament. So that just, it makes the field even more interesting, some teams riding some momentum into the tournament. And Millard West and us, I mean, we've both had really good regular seasons. They beat us 2-1 earlier in the year. Lincoln Pius, first time in Class A this year, also qualifies. So, you know, I think it'll be interesting. It always is. You know, soccer is a unique game where the better team doesn't always win. Sometimes the team that controls possession and gets more shots on goal doesn't always win. We were victims of that in the district tournament. You know, we controlled the game but ended up losing 1-0. So from that perspective, just like any state tournament, anything can happen.
Yeah, in soccer, in the high school soccer, do you see in the state tournament here where people can get up 1-0 or, you know, and they are the underdog, will they really try to start just keeping that lead, just kind of try to win 1-0?
Yeah, you know, if you kind of find yourself in a spot where, let's say, for example, Omaha South gets behind 1-0 against Lincoln Southeast in the opening game, you know, I think you would definitely see a team like Lincoln Southeast just kind of bunker in and play defense. You know, that's a risky proposition. You know, sometimes you fall into that trap of playing not to lose. A couple of years ago, we found ourselves in that situation against Omaha South. You know, we scored early in the second half and kind of bunkered in and tried to defend because they were better than we were. But we got a penalty kick and went ahead 1-0. They end up scoring with less than 10 seconds to go, but that it felt like that entire second half, they kept the pressure on us. And the longer the ball is around your goal and around the penalty area, the more likely – you know, something good is going to happen if you're the offensive team and something bad is going to happen if you're the defensive team. But there is definitely some strategy in doing that. If you know the other team has, you know, more talent at every spot and more speed and more skill, if you're lucky enough to get a goal, you can really bunker in and try to play some defense and watch that clock bleed out. But that can be a long 70 or 80 minutes if you're just trying to watch that clock tick away.
Well, there's no doubt, but I'll tell you what, though. I mean, I'd rather try to win 1-0 than you're going to try to outscore them 6-5. You know, that's not going to
happen.
You're
right. That's probably not going to happen.
Right.
You're right. You know, you can look at the state tournament scores over the years. You know, you're probably going to see some 1-0s, some 2-1s. You're probably not going to see 5-4s and 6-5s, things like that. But they're all good teams. They're all competitive, and it'd be interesting to see how it goes.
Tell us a little bit about Millard West and what you think you need to do there.
Well, Millard West, we just played them a couple weeks ago. They were the team that gave us our first and only loss of the regular season. They play a similar style. You know, they possess the ball enough, but they also really get the ball fast and forward to their goal scorers up top. They're big, physical, and fast. Maybe not as skillful as like a Creighton Prep or an Omaha South or a Grand Island, but they have some midfielders and a couple forwards that are very creative, skillful players. And we played at their place, and we played okay. We didn't play great. We were actually missing a couple guys because of injury and illness. So we feel like out of our potential first-round matchups, it's rare that the wild card goes in and you're not a 7 or 8 seed. But the fact that we have avoided kind of that big three with South, GI, and Prep, you know, I think our coaches and our kids feel pretty good about the matchup. It's a team that we've played every year going back to 2009. They beat us in the state final. And then the coach and I just kind of mutually agreed that let's keep playing in the regular season, and we've done that. Every game has been a one-goal game. It's either been 1-0 or 2-1 the last five times we played them. So we expect a competitive game. Millard West is a team like us that is in the state tournament almost every year. So it's two kind of experienced programs, and it should be a great game.
Usually when you have a matchup like that, it usually ends up being a pretty low-scoring affair, obviously. Quincy Bennett, a guy that's been in net for you a long, long time, very, very key to that. And you've got a lot of experience in that back row there in terms of playing some defense. Talk a little bit about Quincy and his key defenders that are right in front of him.
Well, Quincy, you're right. He's been a two-year starter. You know, hasn't missed a game. He stayed healthy. You know, he's second on our goalkeeping record list for a lot of different things: shutouts, saves, single-season shutouts. So, you know, he's done a great job back there. But again, he'll be the first to give credit to his defense. You know, a couple of our senior leaders back there, Austin Hibbert and Gabe Bushnell, combined with some underclassmen that have really stepped up this year: Jamison Ortley, Robbie Potoff, Adam Challey. Those three guys, you know, have started nearly every game this year as well. So the combination of those four or five players back there, our defense has really come together nicely this year. And the exciting thing is, you know, three of those back four are coming back for next year. I don't want to look too far down the road, but those guys have gotten some valuable experience this year and have had a real nice defensive season for us.
Now, what is your plans? I know you play at 3 p.m. Wednesday. Are you going down that day, or are you going to go down Tuesday night, or what are the plans?
We'll go down on Wednesday. You know, the Class A sessions are 9, 11, 1, and 3, and we've always kind of said if we play that 9 a.m. game, that's the only one where we would go down the night before. We're used to getting up and going early, but we were glad to see us in that 3 o'clock time slot. You know, that allows the kids to, you know, go to school for part of the day, and then we'll get down there and we'll probably try to watch part or maybe half of that Omaha South game right before us, just so as coaches we can scout it and our kids can kind of get acclimated to the atmosphere, make sure we have plenty of time, and then we'll just come home after the game.
And obviously the past experience is going to kind of help you get used to playing in such a great arena, great venue for the state tournament there at Creighton. Coach, do you feel that most of your goals are going to come on a counterattack, or is it going to be continued pressure? I mean, obviously you want both, but which do you think is most likely to crack the goal against Millard West?
Well, I'll add a third one there. I think the most likely way that we're going to score or get scored on is on some sort of set piece, whether it's a free kick, a penalty kick, a corner kick. When you have two really good teams playing against each other, those set piece goals, it doesn't matter what the level. It can be 12-year-olds or professionals. You know, those set piece dead ball situations are typically the most dangerous. So that's been a huge point of emphasis for us all year, but especially heading into the state tournament. In our previous games against Millard West, oftentimes it's been a corner kick or a penalty kick or something like that has won it. We're not a team that's going to possess the ball for 75-80% of the game. You know, Omaha South, yes. Creighton Prep, yes. Grand Island, yes. That's kind of their style of play. Our style is connect three or four passes and then get the ball forward, whether that's a short pass on the ground or whether it's a long chip forward. That's just kind of the style that our kids are comfortable playing. You know, we say play enough possession to get the ball forward. But, I don't think we'll put relentless pressure on Millard West with possession. But on the flip side of that, I don't think they're going to put relentless pressure on us with their possession. We both want to get the ball forward. We want to get the ball into the penalty area. And sometimes set pieces are the best way you can do that.
All right, Coach. Well, I hope one of the stats that you want to dominate is the number of corner kicks versus the number that they have as well. Best of luck to you winning that stat and the one that really matters, and that's the final score.
Very good. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, Scott.
Good luck to you.
That's Scott Steinbrook, the head boys soccer coach at Kearney High. And again, they are, well, they actually got a pretty good draw, they kind of feel, being the number five seed. They play 3 o'clock against four-seeded Miller West. On their side of the bracket is Omaha South taking on Southeast. And on the other side, Grand Island will be taking on Papillion La Vista South, the team that beat Kearney High in the district final 1-0 in a game that was a little tough to play. It was cold and windy and wet, but Papillion La Vista South was able to come out on top, and then Creighton Prep will be taking on Pius the 10th. On the there's no Class A girls teams from this area, but on the Class B side of things, on the boys' side, Hastings is the number 7 seed. They'll be taking on Gretna at 6 o'clock on the 9th. Lexington is on that side of the bracket as well. They'll be taking on South Sioux City. They'll have that late game on the 9th. And the Holdridge girls have made it to the state tournament again. They are the number 8 seed. They'll be taking on the top-seeded Scott. They'll be playing on Friday the 10th at 1 o'clock. On that side of the bracket is Hastings. They're the number 5 seed. They'll be taking on SCOTUS and the 3 o'clock game on Friday, and certainly wish all the local teams the best of luck as the Central Nebraska fairly well represented considering the number of soccer teams that are out in the East compared to how many are actually here in Central Nebraska. Certainly want to wish them the best of luck. Some things you don't want to leave up to luck, and that includes your irrigation system. And if you're driving a pickup, you go, you stop, you go, you stop over and over and again, and it causes your pickup's internal parts to wear and tear, break down, costing you money to replace the parts, or you have to end up buying a whole new pickup. But constant starting and stopping is the same technology used in electric pivots. Over time, that causes those breakdowns to the electric pivot. That'll lose you time there and as well as money. It's time to make a change to a hydrostatically powered TNL pivot from TNL Irrigation. This has continuous movement, allowing even water distribution and even less waste. And for years of proven hydraulic technology, you know who to trust and who to give your business to. That's TNL Irrigation. Most importantly, this will all make life easier on you. No more hassles, no more dangerous electricity, and more production from your crops. There is no more time, money, or water to waste. The choice is simple with a hydrostatically powered pivot from TNL Irrigation Systems. Discover the difference by visiting your local TNL dealer, or you can hop online at TLIRR.com. TNL, proven technology that works and is easier on you for a lifetime. We'll take a quick break. We'll wrap things up when we come back after this.
If you ever just want to escape ordinary, you know what I'm talking about. With the wife always on your tail, the kids running around like a bunch of wild turkeys, the same old routine day in and day out. When you're ready to escape ordinary, just head over to Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's is the best place to hang out with your buds, have a great bite to eat, and an ice cold beer while you watch all your favorite sports. When it's time to escape ordinary, head over to Cunningham's Journal, 23rd Street, downtown Kearney.
Well, Flo,
uh-huh.
This is what you call a clogged drain tap.
Yep, looks that way.
Might need a drain extension, some new compound.
Maybe a flange or a twirly thingy.
A twirly what?
Or what you said. Those sounded great. Let's go with that.
Insuring your business vehicles with Progressive is like having Flo on the road with you. Low down payments, great discounts, and flexible billing options. Now that's Progressive. Visit Progressive.com today. United Financial Casualty Company and Affiliates.
Terry Bradshaw here. In football, you can't win without a strong team backing you up. Today, I'm talking to Kevin, a licensed plumber, about how the team over at Ferguson, the leader for plumbing, waterworks, and HVAC supplies, gives him a winning edge.
Ferguson makes it easy. I order my supplies online and pick them up at my local branch or have everything delivered.
Plus, your online orders earn points for cool stuff like electronics and event tickets.
Yeah, ordering online saves me time, too.
You heard the man. Go check out Pro Plus at Ferguson.
When you need comfort and guidance the most, it's reassuring to know our family at Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services is at hand. With our experience, compassionate care, and trusted facility, we are available to serve your family in any way possible. If you are in need of a helping hand, contact Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services in Kearney at 237-2259, where our family is dedicated to honoring your family for generations.
Throw it away, forget yesterday. We'll make the great escape. We won't hear away.
Welcome back. back to the Doug and Daddy Show. Our Midtown Mark Cooler question from the Friday. Nebraska will have to drop or reschedule a non-conference game in 2016. Which game should they drop? Wyoming, Fresno State, or Northern Illinois, which is played in Chicago? Both Wyoming and Fresno would be home games. Northern Illinois in Chicago. Which one should they drop? What do you think, Jim?
I said Northern Illinois just because it was at Chicago.
Well, it's surprising to me that that was the least answered question. It was 39% for Wyoming, also 39% dropped Fresno State, and 22% said drop that game being played at Soldier Field in Chicago. So, I like keeping Wyoming because they're a border state. That's kind of a big deal. But I would say Northern Illinois as well, but we're in the minority there. Today's Midtown Mark Cooler question: which NBA second-round series are you most looking forward to watching? Knicks Pacers, Heat Bulls, Thunder Grizzlies, or Spurs Warriors? What do you think?
Well, I'm looking at the Spurs Warriors because I got some vested interest in the Spurs, but I would imagine this Bulls, you know, is going to be kind of, with the injuries they've had, I'm sure people are going to be really watching that one.
And I'm watching the Thunder for the exact same reason, just kind of seeing how they're going to go. And I want to see how Kevin Durant steps up because, you know, as a fairly young player, but one of the best players in the league, it's on his shoulders now a little bit more. I'm curious to see how Durant's going to respond to that. So I'm looking forward to watching the Thunder and the Grizzlies.
He did it one time, didn't he?
Oh, he sure did.
Yeah.
He sure did. And we were kind of talking about this during the break. I don't watch a lot of the NBA. This is the time of the year, though, that all the weak teams are gone. They're playing for keeps now. The intensity level of playoff, both hockey and basketball, but playoff basketball, that intensity level is really a lot of fun to watch.
Yes, it really is. And there's been some really good games.
Yeah, there really has been through the course of the first round. So go ahead and log on and answer our Midtown Mark Cooler question. Which series are you most looking forward to? And give us an answer, and we'll have those answers for you tomorrow. Going on here in about any minute now, they're going to have the first pitch between Nebraska and Indiana. Big win last night for the Huskers at Haymarket Park. Great pitching performance in that one by Kyle Kubot, who didn't quite chance to finish the game, but left in the eighth inning, threw like 116 pitches, and very impressive, shutting down one of the better teams in the country in terms of offense, and they end up winning that game 3-2, and the rubber game of the series is taking place any minute now over at Haymarket Park.
What will Nebraska be seeded in that tournament? Does anybody know here?
We got a little bit of time left. If they continue to kind of play at the pace, they could be that 2 seed. They really want to be a 2 seed because they get that first round bye. But right now they're kind of fighting between the 2 and the 3 seed. Indiana doesn't have it locked up, but Indiana's on top of the standings right now. In Nebraska, I think, with the win last night, would move into second place, I believe.
Okay.
So, I mean, there's some value to picking up those wins because there's one last team that you got to do. Right now, Minnesota's in first with the win. Indiana is second, and now Nebraska is third. And what is that, about one game difference between first and third there?
This is good the way you guys can look this stuff up this fast.
That internet thing is going to catch up.
It doesn't. I mean, yeah. I mean, I was thought we're going to have to do this just off the top of your head, but, you know, you got a little button there, and boom, here we go. We can look anything up we want to real fast.
And we were kind of talking a little bit local Major League Baseball teams.
Oh, yeah, the
doing
Royals.
Very well.
Yeah, the Royals are 17-10, exactly. You know, right now, I mean, a lot of people have done this. I know a lot of our viewers, or listeners, have done this. They've already done the math, and everybody knows it's 1/6 of the season's done right now. You know, 17 games is right there, and, you know, so the season's about, you know, 1/6 done, and if the Royals can continue this pace, they'll win 102 games
and a little bit of
102 and 60. Could you imagine that?
Yeah, and a lot of momentum. You'll walk off win the other night.
Yeah, and the Rockies, they're sitting there around 18-13, something like that, maybe like that. They're 5 games over 500. Hey, can you imagine when was the last time these two teams were like playing like this? So yeah, it's Central Nebraska. They are the two teams that we kind of follow, that, you know, the Rockies and the Royals, which we can kind of follow it. I mean, there's Yankee fans, Cardinal fans all over the place, but these are the two that are kind of, we can get on the radio at least and pick them up.
And the Royals will be on the breeze this afternoon. 1:10 is first pitch. Pre-game will start a little bit before that between the White Sox and the Royals, and that game will be on the breeze, 94.5, as the Royals playing very good ball right now. And as we mentioned, the Rockies only a game out of first place against the defending world champions. So the fairly local teams, and you have to throw a pretty wide net when you live in central Nebraska to talk about your local Major League Baseball team. But the two local teams playing pretty good ball right now and on a great pace. I didn't do the math yet. I didn't realize that they were on pace to win 102 games. So the Royals were.
Yeah, I kind of did that on my own, to be honest with you. I'm sure, if anybody else wants to claim that, they can. But yeah, I just kind of did it real quick in my head.
All right. Well, hey, Jimmy, thanks. Appreciate the time. And we'll see you later in the week. You'll be back again Friday, I assume.
Yeah, I will. And I enjoyed you did a good job today.
Well, you know.
Other than that, what was that mistake you made earlier?
The time.
Good morning,
I didn't know
or
what
night,
part
or,
of the
I'm glad
day.
You're here tonight. Or, yeah, whatever. Other than that, you had a great day.
What part of the day are we in?
There you
I
go.
Was confused.
Well, it'd have been a bad question to answer on the Family Feud. You know what I mean? You never get, if you do something like that on the Family Feud, that guy will rip you the whole time. So I'm glad you didn't do it there.
Yeah, and I couldn't remember a couple other names, but Steve Harvey, the host of Family Feud, that one's in my head. So
how about Alex Gord, when he one of the guys from Southeast that had the game-winning hit?
Yeah.
We got that name.
I couldn't think of that at the time when you were talking about George Brett, and Gordon was supposed to be his replacement. Hey, I want to thank Scott Steinbrook, the head soccer coach at Kearney High, and Josh Algie, general manager and coach of the Tri-C Storm, for being our guests with us today. And don't forget, we'll have plenty of coverage from the U.S. Senior Open. That's where Doug's at right now with Media Day. We'll be back again with you tomorrow at 11 right here on ESPN.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.